night when the moon is high. The shadow stands, evil rise. The world between the living and the dead is thin. So now is the time to let the horror you know in.
Welcome back to the Horror You Know podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Ian.
I'm Ian.
And I'm Trent.
Let's talk about Gore Verbinski's 2002 classic, The Ring. You guys ever seen that? It stars Naomi Watts, Brian Cox, Martin Henderson, David Dorfman, and Davia Chase, who played Samara. The Dorfman kid played the little boy. That little boy is fucking creepy, but we'll talk about that later.
Yes, we'll have a whole discussion about it.
Oh, shit about that. So this comes from the Qui-Gon.
Qui-Gon from Star Wars?
Qui-Don.
Oh.
It looks like Qui-Don, but they pronounce it Qui-Don.
Qui-Don Chong. They say Qui-Dong.
Quiet with your dong over there. Shut up.
Quiet your dong.
I'll quiet your dong. That means actually strange, mysterious, rare, or bewitching apparition, and that's what Qui means. Don means to talk or recited narrative. So it is basically a ghost story. So in long story short, Qui-Don stories are ghost stories in Japanese. But it's based on the Onryo. We talked about this before. You guys remember when I talked about the Onryo last time?
Yes.
Probably on the Grudge episode.
It was on the Grudge episode.
You're very ornery about it.
I am very ornery. Oh. Sometimes rendered as wrathful spirits, hateful spirits, resentful spirits, ruthless spirits, dark spirits, fallen spirits, downcast spirits. Just a bad
spirit.
Spirits.
I mean, bad ones. Speaking of bad spirits, my spirits are not feeling good right now because we didn't take our old smoky shot before starting this episode.
Oh, honey, I've taken a few.
I was going to say, I had two whole cups.
Well,
shots are they, guys?
Oh, smoky.
That was not a
These are dark spirits that make us happy.
I thought we cut them with season three started. No? Okay.
Yeah, this is now the, what's the other one? Sugarland?
Twisted.
Ian says, technically, aren't I the dark spirit that made you happy?
He brought the old smoky.
Yep. That dark spirit brings them every week.
That's right.
Okay, ready?
Is that my new nickname on this podcast, Dark Spirit? I'll take it.
I like that. It's better than Chocolate Poops.
You like it too, Dark Spirit.
Chocolate Poops is yours on that YouTube page we're going to start. Dark Spirit here.
That's
right. Trent can't be on YouTube. He's in the Witness Protection Program.
For another 3 months, yeah.
Just grow a beard out.
Does the Witness Protection Program run out? Is that like a card? Expires. Try and use it. Oh, sir, you can't use this here.
He had his black card a month ago. You could have your...
He got pulled.
Sir, I'm sorry, in 3 months, you're technically no longer in the Witness Protection Program, but the mob's still after me.
Well, you're going to have to refile.
Yeah. My black card got pulled, and I got excluded from the 2023 racial
debate. Those are not good, are they?
They're harsh.
I told you. I don't know why you tried it.
Go Colts. Let's hear what you got to say.
We're talking about the Onryo still. It's the type of ghost believed to be capable of causing harm in the world of the living, injuring or killing enemies, or even causing natural disasters, to exact vengeance to redress the wrongs it received while alive, then taking the spirits from their dying bodies. So these dudes are pretty badass. But dudes is not what I meant to say, because most of them are women. They're depicted as wronged women who are traumatized, envied, disappointed, bitter, and just furious by what happened during their life. And they come back to exact revenge during death. Now, I don't know why that's such a thing in the Japanese culture compared to here. Because you don't have a lot of, besides remakes of J-horror, you don't have a lot of like women exacting revenge here. You know what I'm saying?
We're about to after this episode once Snugglebutt hears this episode.
I'm not even that
mad.
You
better have your gun ready. She's going to have something else ready. She might slice that thing off.
That quiet dong.
So the Onryo are depicted as being wronged, and they're usually women, which is kind of unusual in that culture because the women are looked down upon a lot in that culture.
Are you saying women are Onryo?
I'm telling you.
Snugglebutt is.
When it comes to being unusual, it's not unusual.
Unusual or irregular?
It's not unusual.
Come on, let's sing it. That's karaoke.
To be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging around with anyone.
This is a throwback from season
not
one.
Not unusual to see me cry.
Throwback. We do Tom Jones like every week.
I was going to say, he's here every week. Thanks, Tom. High five.
I haven't heard him in a while.
That actually was unusual, but you don't have to worry when it comes to me because I'm regular, girl.
Who the fuck are you talking to?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
He locked eyes with me. It was really weird.
I'm talking to Snugglebutt.
He's still going back to Snugglebutt.
No, that's my clean
Snugglebutt?
Poops.
My Snugglebutt?
That's clean butt.
All right.
You play your cards.
Back to the Ring. This Ring movie came from a book, actually, which was made into a movie in Japan called Ringu.
Ringu.
Which was in 1998.
Crab Rangoon.
Or the Big Ragu from Laverne and Shirley.
I started that at first.
What a throwback.
That was a throwback.
I went on Prime Video and I clicked on the American version of The Ring, and for some reason the Japanese version started playing. I was like, the fuck?
It's good, but I don't think it's as good. Really? This is the one like American version of something I like better.
Okay.
I think. But, okay, so the Sadako, which is the Ringu character, or the Samara, which is the American version, is based on an actual Kaidan legend and an Onryo, which is located in Western Japan, the Himeji Castle, which is one of their, it's one of their most visited places for tourists. So if you ever go to Japan, this is one of the recommended places to go outside of Tokyo.
Okay. Let's go.
I'm going next month, actually.
Stands high atop a mountain, and it was built somewhere between 1333 and 1346 as a home for the Lord Himeji. The castle, one of the more popular tourist destinations, is said to be incredibly lucky, almost supernaturally so, but it has a pretty creepy story attached to it. The story of Okiku.
Okiku.
Let's all say that together. Ready? One, two, three.
Okiku.
That's just fun.
That sounds creepy.
That is a fun name.
Okiku.
Okiku. The castle has a story behind Okiku, who died in a well outside of the castle. So Okiku, who worked in a dungeon beneath the castle, was a servant to a samurai named Tessen Oyama. And Oyama took a particular liking to her. In fact, he fell madly in love with her, telling her he was going to leave his wife and be with her. But Okiku wasn't on board with this plan, which led to her apparent murder at the hands of the brutal samurai. So this sounds like every story you hear anywhere here in America. Somebody's stalking somebody. They like them. They don't, it's unrequited love, and they end up killing them, right? So one of Okiku's primary duties was to look after 10 highly valuable golden plates that were owned by Oyama.
You mean Omaha?
Omaha?
Omaha!
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 And one day, the samurai decided to hide one of them. So he had 10 plates, he hid one of them, he told Okiku that if she didn't agree to be with him, he would blame her for stealing that plate, which would lead to her torture and execution because they were so important.
For stealing a plate?
Was he like a plate juggler?
They were like
sticks or something?
They were like golden plates.
So say, y'all, like, y'all don't know what kind of plates they were?
Yeah, they were like
judging?
They weren't like food plates. They were like golden plates.
Okay.
That's right.
What do you do with them?
They were symbolic.
You eat on them.
So he had 10 of them.
Symbolic of eating it.
She apparently did not steal it. He said if he stole it himself, he said if she didn't marry him or go with him, he would tell everybody that she took him and she'd be tortured and then executed. In one version of the story, Okiku ended her own life by throwing herself down the castle's well, believing herself to be in a no-win situation with no way out. In the other version, Oyama threw her down the well after she refused to be with him at all. In the wake of Okiku's death, she is said to crawl out of the well and appear to Oyama on a nightly basis. Oyama is apparently driven insane by the vengeful ghost's incessant screams in the night. She was regularly heard counting the plates in the dungeon. So she would be like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. She'd get to the 10th one. She didn't have it and would start screaming violently. Hmm. All right. Throwing a violent fit wherever OCD. She realized she didn't have that 10th plate.
Before we knew what OCD was, she was OCD.
For sure. So, it the story is kind of convoluted, obviously, because people don't know if she killed herself. They don't know if he killed her. They don't know if she was executed. Probably just a story that was made up, right? It's one of those vengeful ghost stories, but drawings of Ukiku depict her looking very similar to Sadako or the Samara character in the American version, with flowing black hair, long white dress. This is the general depiction of a person who has died under unnatural circumstances in Japan. These ghosts are referred to as Yuria, translating to either faint soul or dim spirit. These tragic women are buried in white dresses with their hair let down. The well, locally known as Okiku's Well, can still be found outside the Himeji Castle. So we'll have to post a picture of what the drawings and scrolls look like of Okiku, because apparently there's also like a bug, Okiku's bug, which it looks like a caterpillar, but it has nine of those metal plates making up its body and the creepy head at the end. But there's a lot of drawings of that. There's drawings of her, like, with her hair down, looking like a spirit. And then we also have the actual castle that you can visit. We'll show where that's at. And then the well.
Told us on the, the Grudge episode?
Mm-hmm.
Why Japanese women are typically buried in, like, white dresses. Why was that again? I don't remember.
Either. But I
go back and listen to that episode.
We'll have to do like our viewers and go back and listen to that episode.
I mean, that was the Onryo kind of thing. So this legend has fed into that. But she's like one of the more famous ones, I think, because of the well still being there. But the ghost is supposed to come out every night. So, I don't know.
What I was going to ask is, you mentioned castles. Would you guys...
Made of sand? Yeah, too. Castles.
Would you guys ever go visit? Have you ever visited a castle?
Yes, and I would go again.
Is it cool? Is it as cool as it sounds?
I thought it was cool. Castles here in America.
Oh, it's in America?
I've never. Okay. And I visited one in Canada.
What castle did you go to in America?
It's the one out in the West, Pacific Northwest. There's a castle out there somewhere.
Okay. There
it's not really, really old. It's like under 200 years old.
Isn't there a castle somewhere here in Indiana?
And then St. Augustine, which was a fort castle.
Talking about witch's castle?
No, there's like an actual like castle that some rich person built.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It was just a house, though. Oh, it was so like that's newer. Cinder block. Yeah. St. Augustine Castle, which is a fort in Florida. But it's made of like... that shellstone mud or whatever.
Yeah.
Where they take mud and pack it with the shells.
Like the Alamo.
And,
yeah. I don't know if that's true.
Well,
I was like, I would have believed it. Okay.
Everybody agreed. I was like, yeah, sure. I made that up.
I thought St. Augustine was the only one, but I thought maybe you had some inside knowledge.
I've got no inside knowledge.
Pretty sure the Alamo was built out of Alamo beer cans.
Okay. So I told you about my newly found brother. Right?
Me?
Yes.
I've got a new brother.
Me? Ian Wells?
Ian Wells.
Brother.
Not brother.
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 Oh, my bro.
Okay, my bad. That's my bad.
So I got a brother that's older than me, I found out through my dad. And this guy did a lot of research, and that's how he found me and my family. And the research he did goes all the way back to like 1400s or 1500s, something like that, during Robert the Bruce time in Scotland.
You say Robert the Bruce?
And the original guy that had our name in Scotland is from around that time, and he was actually friends with Robert the Bruce and helped him fight the King of England. And he actually, for fighting the King of England, got his own castle and land for it. And it's right above Edinburgh, Scotland, and you can actually look it up on maps. It's still called, which my original name apparently was Menzies. M-E-N. Menzies? Yeah. M-E-N-Z-I-E-S.
That sounds like an STD.
So it makes so much sense now.
What?
Well, guys,
I slept with a girl last night. I think I got the Menzies.
Got the Menzies.
So, yeah. Look it up. There's a Menzies castle.
Wow.
That's why you have all those tampons in your
Menzies.
Your bathroom.
Menzies.
Yeah, I'm not lying. So yeah, I've been to castles.
I don't know why when you told that story, I pictured like the opening to What We Do in the Shadows, like a bunch of paintings in different eras with just like Means' face on all of them.
I'm not even lying. And the guy told me that.
So do you get? Is that like up. Do you inherit that? Is that do you get to get?
No, it is owned by the Scottish government now, but it was owned by the Clan Menzies. Menzies, however you say it.
Is that that, what'd you say, that shellstone or whatever?
No, that's like the rock that's from the hillsides.
That's you should like just march right over to Scotland and just say, hey.
Either way, that's actually pretty
cool. I'm Darren Means.
Well, there's a whole website
of the horror, like, you know.
There's a website of the clan of them. And the clan, like,
fascinated by castles.
The clan allows you to, like, if you're related to them, to become a member of the clan and have a ceremony. So I'm thinking, if I could ever get money to get over there, I could just prove that I'm part of this clan and I could become a clan member.
Means the can the clansman.
Clan Menzies.
Great for a resume. Yeah, I'm in the clan.
I'm in the clan. Good. I can't see shit out of this fucking thing.
No. Clan Menzies. Clan Menzies.
It's good in Scotland, not so good in America.
Yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Not the clan. The clan.
Clan.
That's the clan. Oh.
Let's eat some haggis.
Why are you spitting on me, sir?
Menzies. Castles are cool.
Moral of that story.
So let's talk about the film, because I have a bunch of key points about this film, This is one of the films that when I'm talking J-horror, there's like two or three films that I really like, and this is one of them. So I'm obviously giving my take on what I think of the film right away.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of my favorite, if not the favorite J-horror film, especially being a remake, I guess. It's a J-horror remake. J-horror was really popular in the late 90s, early 2000s. And the whole style of this film to me is like just, you know how when you look at films from different decades, you can tell just by the sights and sounds and smells and the acting. It's just like that.
That's
right there.
That's an 80s movie. Absolutely. And I feel like I think 70s. I know where you're going with this.
This is an early 2000s movie.
Yes, absolutely.
You smell that, Mom?
I mean, this has the feel with the ghost. The way
that's
it was,
freedom.
It has the look, has that kind of greenish look throughout.
Even,
you know,
the little boy is very like 2000s. Early 2000s cliche.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like...
But it wasn't cliche then.
It's, well, it seemed like now. Every horror movie in the 2000s had to have a creepy little kid in it.
Yeah, and all J-horror had the Onryo black-haired girl in the white dress. But, yeah. So, I mean, I thought it was a good film, but...
Nobody did it like The Grudge and The Ring, though. I still don't know why those two films get compared so much, other than the fact that the ghosts are... kind of similar looking.
Yeah.
I was going to take like a, not a total opposite stance, but like, I feel like this movie definitely had some vibes from the 2000s, but not to the point where it was so like 2000s. Like, I felt like it was more timeless than that. Like, it had some of the, it had, you know, the green filter you were talking about. It had kind of some of the quick editing style, but like, there's a lot of films from that era that just were so 2000s that it's just, you know, you could tell immediately.
Well,
this, I feel like
it didn't have the 2000 soundtrack. I think
I was gonna say the soundtrack didn't have like the emo-y kind of rock soundtrack. It didn't have a lot of those like fade to white real quick flash cuts.
Yeah,
like it had kind of some cuts in the video, and then it would cut to the ring real sporadically sometimes, I noticed.
Trent, did you watch it recently for this episode?
I watched the first probably half of it today, just before coming over, just to catch up.
You.
And then I watched it actually not too recent, or. Recently, not too
long ago.
It was probably this year, earlier this year, I watched it, so it was still somewhat fresh in my mind. But I mean, I think it's a little, I mean, and I mean it in a good way, but I mean it's kind of timeless compared to some of the other 2000s slashers that we've talked about on here before. It's, which, not that this is a slasher, but
it's definitely the best J horror remake, I think, that America did. And if you put it against actually the J horror genre, I think it's up there in the top 3 to 5.
Yeah.
I don't know how many J horrors you've seen, but I've seen a lot of them, and this one's one of the best for sure.
It was very different when it came out, because at the time, like, we hadn't seen a whole lot of movies like that where you watch a videotape or whatever, something that we all did very regularly at the time, and you watch a videotape and you die because of it in 7 days.
That took a turn.
So I wrote some points down here. This film assumes that just by the viewer showing up, just by being a spectator, a person becomes fair game to evil, which was different than any other film up to that point. Mm. Right? So it's like...
It was different.
Slashers, you had to have sex, do drugs, something to get killed, right? Mm-hmm. And serial killer movies, you had to be a part of that person's inner circle or just randomly wrong place, wrong time. These people were just kind of like, they didn't deserve to die for any reason.
It was sporadic. You just happened to stumble upon this tape.
Stumble upon that tape, yeah.
And you got to pass it on to the next person, which is kind of fucked up, too.
Yeah, that's fucked up. The victims in these films are often innocent bystanders until they're confronted with the supernatural. So that's another weird thing. This wasn't people. It was supernatural. So it's like bringing in a whole different realm to where it's like the chaos comes from without, not within. You know, mm-hmm. It's not like a person showing up at a mall and killing people. It was something that was way out of their control.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing I got from this was art imitating life. The notion that people watching the suffering and others through news stations. So I wrote down like news stations I watch sometimes, like CNN. I don't watch Fox so much, but people watch Fox. MSNBC.
People?
Whatever you want to call them. but that affects billions of people worldwide watching the news. The way we get our news now is through the internet.
Mm-hmm.
The way we got our news in 2002 was television.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel like if you, and I put this in here, if you had stuff like 9/11 happened the year before this movie came out, even though 1998 was the Ringu version, which was before 9/11, 9/11 affected everything we did as a society from then on, right?
Yep, still does.
And still does. Absolutely still does. We are a different nation now. Just like our parents' generation was a different nation after JFK and Martin Luther King got shot.
Yep.
We are a different nation, even though I'm older than you guys, we're a different nation from 9/11 on, right? And it's a different world now. And I feel like this movie is tying into that. It's showing supernatural things you can't control. But what we control is what we put in our fucking brains. Right?
Yeah.
So CNN and all those news stations, they come on and they just pump you full of, you know, this tragedy all the time on the news and stuff.
That's all
and we let it into our kitchen. We let it into our kids. We let it into our eyes. And it's gotten worse progressively. This movie was almost, even though it was about old technology like videotapes that aren't even really around anymore, it's still pointing towards the future that we are fucking letting our kids watch TikTok after TikTok about violence, tragedy. People love watching those fell army things. They love watching people getting in fist fights all the time. I do it too. I get caught up at night watching fist fights and shit. You know what I'm saying?
TikTok's
you do it too, and we all do it.
TikTok's ruining us. Go check out our latest video.
The Horror You Know podcast TikToks are ruining everybody.
But I felt like this is just an updated version of Kaidan, you know, stories. And after 9/11, these disturbing images just kind of stay around with us. Because you can go back now and see them.
I'm sorry.
I can go see, like, anybody getting hung now. On the internet.
Anytime you say 9/11, I think of that South Park episode with Alan Jackson. 9/11.
Where were you when they built that ladder to heaven?
Did it make you feel like crying?
Or did you think it was kind of gay?
More, sir. More.
Let me have some more. No.
He
wants the orange one.
I want the orange one.
Oh.
I'll agree with you, Means, because I'm on Twitter a lot. I'm sometimes addicted to it. I hate to say it. I don't know why. But, like, you'll just be scrolling through. And granted, it don't even have to be stuff you follow because Twitter just kind of thinks you want to see shit sometimes, even though you don't necessarily follow a certain page. But anyway, you'll scroll through and you'll see fight videos, like you said, all the time. Kids getting in fights or, like, just real fucked up looking videos. And, like, there's some that will actually show cop videos, abuse, and, like, people actually, there are videos of people dying, like, whether it's trying to do a stupid stunt that gets themselves killed or legs broken or something or just
driving
anything.
On the interstate randomly.
Mm-hmm. And more often than not, if it's a video of someone actually losing their life, I don't want to watch that shit. But, like, you know, for example, when an NFL player snaps their leg in half, I watch that shit.
And they show it over and over and over.
I don't know why I watch it, but it's like,
yeah,
I watch
it's
it.
It's like disgusting, but you can't
thank
look
you,
away.
Buddy.
Kind of. Like, I don't want to see anyone getting killed, so I don't watch that kind of shit. But, like, you know, the other kind of trash that I don't need to be watching, I'm just like, oh, what's this? And so, yeah, I'm you know, we're all victims to it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I think we watched so much of that stuff today because social media has made it to where, like, even real-life stuff like that that's, like, very serious that should be taken seriously is it's all, like, just entertainment to people.
And it's not, you know, you'll open it up in the comments. Like, you know, a lot of times people give serious comments, but a lot of times there's jokes or memes and stuff like that. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't really hit you like it should in, like, a serious way. So kind of sucks, really. I don't know what point I'm trying to get at here other than the internet's awful for you, but.
Well, I mean, the internet is just the new television, which is the new, you know, whatever. Like, everybody, like, constantly, like, instead of using things for what they could be used for to enrich yourself, which is learning or, you know, whatnot, we use it as a form of cheap entertainment to pacify our time.
Yeah.
This last thing, I might have wrote this, and it might not made sense because I wrote it kind of in a fever dream last night. But
you woke up in a sweat. Where's my laptop?
I gotta write this down. So I put these disturbing images hang in the air of the mainstream media taking on a unique life of their own. Newspapers and the internet followed suit. Does the mass media, by revealing such horrors on such a routine basis, harden us to the suffering of others?
Oh yeah. Yes.
Oh,
it does.
I don't know if it hardens people to the suffering of others. I definitely think it desensitizes them once they see it so much. Like I said, it's just.
Isn't that the same thing, though? Hardening, desensitizing?
Well, not really, because it just gets to the point where it's like entertainment for people.
Hardening.
No, as if I think if it was hardening, I think if those same people actually saw the shit in real life as opposed to online, that it wouldn't bother them if they were hardened by it. But they're not really hardened by it. They just think they are. So it's entertainment for them.
I think part of it could also be the fact that it's so easy to, like, you see so much of it because the internet makes it so accessible too. So it can kind of harden you and desensitize you. Like, you know, back in the day when you didn't have internet, you wouldn't hear about as many tragedies.
See it on TV and
yeah, like it was more rare. Like it didn't happen more rare. All these things happen in different places, but you didn't know about it as often.
It didn't happen more rare.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying like people dying or tragedies or whatever. I'm not going to get into specifics, but like, you know.
I was just joking.
Well, that also brings up the fact that we always have censorship like every 10 to 15 years on something new that young kids do. So, for example, the new censorship obviously is games, you know, like people gaming. So people like are constantly bitching about like what's going on with the gaming community and what these young kids are seeing. I obviously think it's up to the parents at that point to dictate what their kids play and what they do. And if you're not doing that with your kid, you're not a good parent at that point, really, to be honest.
No different than movies.
Yeah. So it's like they should dictate that. But the regular person, I think the regular person can differentiate between a game and real life. But when you're seeing videos all the time of people really dying or fist fighting, it's hard to differentiate from entertainment to real life. I think it does desensitize people and harden people. And when they see stuff like that, they sometimes think they're in this world when they're really in this world. You know, like, for example, I don't know if you looked that woman up that just shot that guy like last year and he had an epileptic seizure or something, or maybe it wasn't an epileptic seizure. Maybe it's something to do with his, what's it called when you're sugar's low?
Diabetes.
Shock. He's like a diabetic, and he ran into the side of some kind of semi-trailer, and he took off. And so she chased him and was on 911. And once she got there, she pulled out her gun and started trying to get him out of the thing, out of his car. And he wouldn't get out, and she was trying to pull on him. And he tried to pull her back, and she pulled out the gun and shot him 4 times and killed him. She tried to claim that it was self-defense. They ended up convicting her 3 days ago, I think. She got a life sentence.
Dang.
Had a legal carry license.
Mm-hmm.
Thought she was doing right, but she ended up basically taking a dude's life for no reason because she thought she was basically in a video game or something.
It's just funny that people, like Grand Theft Auto over here.
Yeah.
It's just funny that people put themselves in a situation and be like, well, I was just protecting myself. It's like, it's not self-defense if you put yourself purposely in that situation.
Yeah, it's like you literally had to chase this person down. So
it's like that fucking douche that went a state over to go protect other people's businesses, that young kid that shot those people. Yep. Fuck that guy, man. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
That's not self-defense.
People
not
think that being able to legally carry means that you can like stop any crime with lethal force. No, you still have to know
your
gun laws.
You're not fucking Charles Brosnan all of a sudden.
You have to know your gun laws. Bronson, you're going to pull that.
You're thinking of Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan. You're not Pierce Brosnan.
You're not 006.
You have to know your gun laws.
Speaking of Scottish royalty.
If you're going to pull that trigger, you better know your shit and have your ass covered.
But that's what I'm saying. You can't run up to a guy and be like, citizen's arrest, and try to pull him out of his car. And then when he like defends himself, pull out a gun and shoot him and be like, oh, you guys saw, he tried to grab me.
Yeah, even if somebody's like robbing your home. And you can't shoot them while they're running away. Like, you're not going to be able to justify shooting somebody in the back. Just can't.
It's hard to justify shooting somebody over stealing property anyway.
Yeah.
Like, even if the law would allow it, I would have a hard time taking somebody's life over them stealing my car. That would be a really hard time for me. I would have to live with that for the rest of my life.
Stealing your car, maybe, but breaking into your home.
Somebody trying to kill me? Trying to hurt
me, I just
different.
Mean breaking into your home, period, because you don't know what that person has on what their intentions are, and you don't want to stop to
but
try to wait
say,
and find out.
Let's say you come home at night and somebody's already broke into your home and they try to run out the back door and you start shooting them. To me,
at that
that's
point, if they're running
a little
away,
different.
Yeah.
They come at me, I'm going to shoot them.
Yeah, they're running away. They're no longer an imminent threat, so you're not really going to win that situation.
So here's my last few points on this, and then we're done. We could do our little episode thing. Are we so disconnected from our common humanity that we must witness the horrible sufferings of others to stay engaged with our own emotions? Is that too heady? Is that too heady? Nora told me some of these was too heady because I read them.
Did she really?
Yeah.
No.
Are we so disconnected with our common humanity that we must witness the suffering of others to stay engaged with our own emotions?
You know.
Because why do we look at these things?
It's like that whole train wreck situation, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's so horrendous.
Can't look
but
away.
You can't look away.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think as sad as it is, like if something tragic happens, it's like if the police lights are outside of your house and you're walking out in your robe to see what's going on.
Yeah.
None of your business. Has nothing to do with you.
True.
But we all do it.
Yeah.
That's the reason I think like reality TV's taking over. Instead of actual sitcoms or whatever
even
we used to watch.
Because people have become scavengers of human misery.
Yeah, because we all want to see somebody else's life being more fucked up than ours to make ourselves feel better about our own shitty lives. Right?
Yeah.
Not shitty lives. I love you, babe. But you know what I'm saying.
Me too.
You heard him.
No, people want to watch that shit just because
it's
drama.
You can't look away. I think the sad part is I think it's instinctive. I think, like, even though you don't want to be like, well, let's go see what's happening, if something's happening outside of your window, you're going to look.
Yeah.
You can't help it. It's in your nature. It doesn't make you a bad person.
Yeah.
In my opinion, Trent, you're kind of
a bad person.
It
makes you a bad person.
Sometimes.
Last point. These movies suggest the act of watching is enough to establish culpability.
Trent, you're a watcher.
We don't have to commit the atrocities we see on TV on the internet to be responsible for them. Because seeing the crime is the crime. It affects us over time, eating away at our humanity and numbing our souls. Man, that was a fever dream I had when I wrote this.
I'm just picturing you in just that cold sweat.
Gosh, damn. This is
kicking
the
sheets
ever.
Off of you in the middle of the night. A raging storm outside your window.
So this goes to, what was that movie? Cabin in the Woods. Yes. This goes exactly to that, you know? We demand the blood. We're the giant monsters in that movie.
And the kids that are fighting so hard at the end to live.
Is that the one that has, like, all the different movie monsters in it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like 100 of them?
Yes. Even though at the end they're fighting so hard to live, but if they lived, they're going to die anyway?
Yeah.
You're fighting so hard to live, even though the entire planet's going to die.
Yeah. Because you upset the apple gods. Cart at that point, which are the viewing
and
audience.
It's like at that point, it's just like, what is the benefit of you living? You know what I mean? You're going to die regardless. And it goes back to our last week's episode.
Yeah.
With the, what was that? Silent Night.
Yeah.
You're fighting so hard to live. It's a little
That was a few weeks ago.
That was a few weeks ago.
We talked about the ritual last week.
That's why I said y'all should stop referencing time while we're recording this.
It's hard.
It's all messed up.
Yeah, it's hard when you're talking. So
that was way back around Christmas.
Yeah, those are terrible. See,
bitter beer face every time.
Mister, I don't love Christmas. Wants to keep on bringing up Christmas time.
Good thing it's over.
First of all, Christmas hasn't happened yet in the real world. Second of all,
doing it again.
You're messing up time. But I'm saying, like, how can I not reference something if in my life it hasn't happened yet? That's impossible.
Imagination.
I can't do that right now. Because we're talking about...
Well, keep on going to your point, though.
My point was, like a few weeks ago when we talked about Silent Night.
Mm-hmm.
They were fighting... A few of them were fighting, like, the boy was fighting hard to live, even though the inevitable was allegedly going to happen. They were going to die regardless. So, like I said, I think it's in human nature to be, like, the what-if part of your brain. Like, what if this is going to happen? And then you just keep fighting, and you keep fighting, and then you brought up Cabin in the Woods, and it's like, you're going to die regardless, so you're not really saving anybody. Actually, yeah. You're making it worse. You're dooming the entire world. But you also are like, but what if... That whole what if factor, like, but what if the gods aren't real? What if this and what if that? And you're kind of fucking everybody at that point.
Yeah.
But I get that, like, it's in your nature to fight for survival. It's that sink or swim feeling, you know what I mean?
But the cabin in the woods was like the gods were the metaphor for the viewing audience, which comes back
No, and I get that, but I'm just saying, like, in the mind of if you're in that really in that situation, is like, well, I'm not going to appease these gods. You know, who are they to me? Fuck them. I'm going to live. And it's just like, but you're not, because they're going to kill you regardless.
Yeah.
And now what you've done is you've selfishly doomed the entire world because you're not thinking about the bigger picture.
Which comes back to this, because if you've got people on the internet that constantly feed on violence and chaos and drama, and that's all... Any social media is really anymore.
It's real selfish.
That's all politics is anymore. Yeah. Because they try to fool you into thinking they're going to help you, but they're still trying to fuck you at the same time because they're all about corporation money.
And it's for their own amusement. Sometimes.
Exactly. And then we buy into that fucking shit and watch it.
Like, but at the moment.
Because our lives suck.
Yeah, but at the moment, like, you're not looking at the bigger picture and you don't realize that until, like, later, like, if somebody calls you out on it, you're like, oh, fuck, now I feel like a dick.
Yeah.
What do you think, Trent?
He thinks you feel like a dick.
I do feel like a dick.
Fuck him.
So do you feel like seeing this stuff, you're part of the problem instead of the solution? That's what I feel.
Yeah.
And I do it every night. Every night I'll go on TikTok or
something. Well, let me ask you this,
I'll just watch stupid shit.
But do you seek that shit out?
And then be like, God, I can't stand these kids. Like,
it's not that I seek it out, but, you know, in today's algorithms... They're just going to put more of it out there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's like with me on Twitter. I don't go looking for these things, but you scroll and it pops up. And yeah, you stop and watch, but I don't watch all of it.
But
like,
as soon as you watch a few seconds of it.
If it's over 20 seconds, I'm not going
to
watch it.
I think even just watching and being witness to it doesn't make you like a bad person. Though.
Huh?
So I think even like just watching it and being witness to it doesn't make you like a bad person or a part of the problem.
I mean, I think
it goes back to that ritual, though, that we talked about last time. Are you helping the person, or are you standing back watching because you're afraid to help? If you're watching stuff like that happen all the time, then it becomes part of your culture. So people are going to look at drama as being drama, violence, all that stuff. They're going to look at that as being what's acceptable, as opposed to positivity.
But like when you're watching a fight video, you are entertained by it, but... At the time when you're watching, it's already happened, so there's nothing.
Might as well watch it. I can't help these people.
Done about it at that point.
That's a cop out though.
That's true.
I'm gonna chalk it up to curiosity.
You couldn't have done anything about that fight at that point.
No, but you could do something about how it spreads. That's why I'm saying
that's the positivity.
That's why this movie's so interesting, because it spreads. The guy said, and this is the last thing I wrote, Richard Morgan, which is Brian Cox. Said, what is it with you reporters? You take one person's tragedy and force the world to experience it. Spread it like a sickness. That's what you're doing, though. If you watch that, it feeds into the algorithm, which makes more of those come out all over TikTok for different people, and they watch it, and it spreads like a sickness.
I think there are positives you can take away from that stuff, though.
That's like Torrance's weird STD ghost movie.
It Follows? I was actually thinking about the same thing. So you guys have all seen it. You've seen It Follows, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I knew you had because we talked about it. So it's just like, if you don't pass it on, it's going to get you and it's going to get the next person. Yeah. So your mindset is not the next person. You're not thinking about the people before you. You're thinking about you.
Yeah.
I don't want to get murdered or decapitated or whatever this thing's going to do to me. So I got to pass it on to the next person. And I think like there's a lot of hidden meaning behind that, that the writers and directors were going for. Like what you're saying now.
Yeah.
It's like we're feeding on other people's misery because like, it's like, I don't give a fuck about you because I know if I pass it on, I'm not going to fuck you and pass it on to you means I keep pointing to you.
But you wouldn't
we don't know that.
You would, but you would consider.
I'm going to try to get rid of it one way or another.
Even the ring touched on that, though. Do y'all remember what the last line of the
movie
is? Quick,
means pick up that quarter. Don't ask why.
Don't ask why.
The ring touched on that. Do y'all remember what the last line of the movie is? It's the little boy asking his mom. He says, well, what happens to the next person we show it to? And then it just cuts off the static.
Yeah.
Because there's no way she's going to be able to give you a good answer about that. It's kind of like, well, fuck him, son.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point. It's like, we're not thinking about the next person. And by passing that on and it follows, you're not thinking about those other people.
That's why Brian Cox's words, and that's the reason he killed himself, because he knew he couldn't stop it. But like, it's prescient for what we go through as humans here now, post 9/11. We feed on chaos and drama and all that shit and violence way more than we did before,
yeah.
I think, because the internet helped spread it. I mean, this movie didn't know the internet was going to be as big as it did. I mean, you remember them typing on the computer in the old, like, DOS-looking Windows text yeah. and everything. It was kind of funny. Yeah.
Just the fact that they were using VHS tape and
yeah.
they had to copy it, hitting yeah. all the buttons to record and whatnot, whereas today we just copy and paste the link.
But this movie, that's why I'm saying this movie has more to do with today than it did at that time, because it's like it spreads so much faster now.
So you believe it was ahead of its time?
I think so. I think if you look at how we were in 2002 and how we are now, our society is more violent as far as verbal, at least. I don't know if we're physically is more violent, but you get online, you can't go to a single post without people fucking shitting on each other and ready to kill each other.
Right. Over everything.
And it's over anything. It's crazy.
Can we admit the first movie is really good and it didn't spawn any good sequels?
Yeah, Ring 2 wasn't that good.
No, Ring 2 was weird.
They should have probably stopped.
Ring 2 wasn't good and I didn't watch Rings, but you told me it was terrible.
It had that stupid deer scene in it that nobody understands to this day.
They had the one where it was the Grudge Girl versus the Ring Girl.
Oh my God,
the Sadako
yes.
versus
yeah.
Kumia or whatever.
I haven't watched that. You told us about it, though, I think during the Grudge episode.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought this was a good movie. I think it had a lot of, you know.
I liked the first one.
I think Trent's right, though. It had probably less of a 2000s feel than what I'm thinking, but it still had a 2000s feel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't there. I'm just saying compared to some of the other ones that we've also covered, it wasn't quite as in your face about it,
I guess. It was one of the best made 2000 film.
And Gore Verbinski is a pretty famous, yeah. well-known director, so yeah. I think he knew what he was doing. He wasn't just some run-of-the-mill name that some studio picked to direct it, obviously.
So let's start talking about the movie. We talked about the meaning and metaphor. Let's talk about this little fucking boy.
God. Rachel. What is it with creepy kids in these movies, gosh. Man?
Now, he wasn't annoying like the kid in a fucking...
I thought he was annoying.
Scary movie.
Sure. Babadook.
Babadook.
Babadook. He wasn't
God, that
annoying.
Was so fucking... Thank you. Does anybody like the Babadook in
but
here?
That kid,
I like the Babadook. I didn't like that kid.
I don't know,
but that
man.
Kid was supposed to be weird and annoying. This kid, I think, was supposed to be, but I don't know. I just think the kid was not a good actor.
Supposed to be, for sure, but like I'm with you. I watched it again today just because I was like, I own The Ring on DVD. That's how long ago I bought
it.
I
got it.
Yeah. But I wanted to watch it again just to be refreshed on it. But the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, this fucking little Children of the Corn little mother.
He's so emotionless.
Yeah.
He calls his mom by her
Rachel,
first name.
Rachel.
Yeah. Like, he's over the top, like, supposed to be a creepy little kid.
So I'm gonna date myself right now. Not literally date myself, but I'm going
to buy yourself flowers.
We'll talk about my age.
What if one of us wanted to date you?
This little boy looks like the kid from the rat video Round and Round. If you watch that video Round and Round, this kid looks just like that motherfucker. And that's why it creeps me out.
Never thought of that.
Because that, have you seen that video?
Been a while, but yeah.
That kid in that video looks like this kid. It's weird. Anyway. 30 years apart.
Maybe it's him.
He's never aged.
Maybe he is one of those children of the corn.
And Brian Cox, once again, excellent performance. That dude does not make a bad movie, I don't think. Or a bad character. I love him.
Is he the one who played Noah?
He's the old man, the dad.
Trick or Treat.
Brian Cox.
I love Brian Cox, man. I think he's a great actor.
He's been in Trick or Treat. He's been in
X-Men 2.
X-Men 2. Dodgeball. Dodge a wrench, you could dodge a ball.
No, that wasn't him, was it? That was Rip Taylor.
Was that Rip Torn? Yeah.
Rip Torn.
Did he play Striker in X-Men 2?
Rip Taylor was the gay guy.
No!
That's right. Rip Taylor. Wrong Rip, my bad.
We're all the same wavelength.
We're getting all of our actors confused.
Brian Cox and Rip Torn always reminded me of each other, though.
They do look kind of alike. He's in Succession, which is a very popular show right now.
Rip Torn was in my favorite cheesy sci-fi movie from the 80s called The Beastmaster. Has anybody ever seen that?
I've heard of it.
The Beastmaster, yeah.
You
gotta watch that.
So it actually cheesy, though?
It's just a TV series.
Tremors was cheesy, too, yep. Which I don't think... We all agreed it was not cheesy.
What?
Tremors.
If we're going to talk Brian Cox horror movies, Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Good movie.
Great movie.
I didn't know he did that, but it's a good movie.
He's the dad. He's the corner.
He's one of those actors that's just kind of in a lot of things you don't always realize, but he's always good.
Zodiac? He's in Zodiac, too. Isn't he?
Was he? He might have been.
He played an IRA leader in some movie. I don't remember what it was.
I tried to forget.
Devil's Due or something like that.
That's a great movie.
I think he was on Sons of Anarchy as well. I think he played Kellen.
Naomi Watts, great character. I loved her acting in this.
I've always loved her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She went on to do King Kong and
Mary Lee Schreiber.
Yeah.
Even when I watched it today when she was falling down, she did more than that. Like, well, she's dead, even though I knew she wasn't. I was like, how can she survive that fall? Even if you're hitting water, that's going to be a bad fall.
Yeah, she even hit her head on the wall going down. Like, damn, she's dead.
Question.
Okay.
If you had a creepy kid like the one in this movie, what would you do?
I burped, and the same time you say kid, I thought you said tit. Creepy tit.
Well, that's because you were thinking of her nipples in that well scene.
Yeah.
They were like, you don't want to get naked, but we're going to find some way to show those things off.
Would you still love your kid if it was creepy ass like this one?
Yeah, because it's your kid.
If it called you by your first name and stared you dead in the eyes and asked when you were going to die.
You still got to love it.
Dan, when are you going to die?
You still got to love it.
Well.
I don't know, man.
Your kid's very articulate for a 3-year-old. And that's kind of creepy.
It's called my kid creepy. She can be creepy
sometimes. Yeah, and she can cook chili already. Definitely creepy.
She loves me, and then like one day I come up behind her and go, boo, and she's scared to death of me. That's weird to me.
She likes the idea of you. We bought these little Christmas cards. You'll all love this. I know we're getting off topic here. But we bought some little like Christmas cards that you can kind of draw yourself and color in and put stickers on and stuff. And, you know, I was like, well, who are we going to give some to? And, you know, I was thinking like the grandparents, you know, make them for grandma and everybody. It's like, yeah, then we'll make one for Means and for Ian. It's like, you really want to make fun for those guys?
Who said this? Your daughter?
Yeah.
Said that Ian?
I love
she
her.
She just said Ian. I think you guys are one entity.
I wasn't invited to the Ian. She doesn't know me.
She does call you the Ians sometimes. She knows you from your puppet because she asks. She knows who the puppets are and she knows they're with the podcast. Aww. So.
And from that time we took that picture that one year at the film festival.
That's true. But she never did make that card for you.
She
guys,
always,
so.
Like, if I haven't been there for like a month, I'll come in and she'll be like,
does she call me Ian or is it still Ian?
It's Ian now.
Oh, nice. We've graduated.
She calls you.
She's a very smart young lady.
She calls me Ian. She used to.
She's a very smart young lady.
Yeah, she loved The Ring. We watched it together.
That picture of her making chili with Tim, though, is just the most adorable thing I've seen on Facebook. Maybe all year.
Thank you. I'll tell her that. Was it adorable because of her or because of Tim? Because Tim listens to these episodes, so he'll be thrilled that you said that.
I told him they were both adorable.
He's our actual number one fan. Tim's I don't care adorable. What you all say.
And remember,
Tim, you're adorable.
Number one customer.
Tim's adorable unless he has a mannequin arm
and a few drinks.
Then he's fucking creepy as hell.
I still think
it's adorable. It is adorable. He patted my ass quite a few times that night.
With the mannequin hand? Adorable,
both.
Who knows? Like, both. I wanted to be like, where'd she get it from, though? She clearly doesn't get it from Jensen or Trent.
Get what from us?
Her adorable looks.
Oh. Well, that's true. I won't own up to that.
But then I was afraid that Holly wouldn't get the joke like that and maybe take it serious, so I didn't say that.
You keep on turning your head left to right, and you're hollow one way, and then you're like really dead
that's
on.
That's how he talks.
You're hollow. It's...
That's how I feel in my soul, too.
So, let's start talking about the movie and going down to the...
Oh, fuck. I'll go with
Trent, you start, buddy.
Are we closing up? Are we kind of summarizing?
Summarizing. I mean, if you want to talk more about the movie. I mean, I thought the videotape was really cool. And on the DVD, you get to watch the whole little film again. And it shows some other weird stuff.
I want to ask a question.
Okay.
So, in today's world, if somebody told you all this movie is really, it's like short, but it's very scary. But if you watch it, you're going to die for sure. Would you watch it?
No.
Somebody told me I was going to die? You'd believe somebody telling you that?
Do we know about the ring in this universe, or is this totally something foreign that we've never...
Oh, yeah, you know about the ring.
Well, I was just about to say in my summarizing thoughts how the videotape was a cool, device, I guess, because it seemed... It's going to sound funny saying this now, but it seemed more real, I guess, for those times. Now it doesn't because no one watches tapes. But, like, what I'm trying to say is it's not like it was someone around a campfire telling a ghost story. It wasn't like a Ouija board. It was like this real kind of urban legend, so to speak, but it actually, like, existed and people could go out and find it and watch it and people actually died. So, I thought that was kind of made it creepier because it made it a little bit more realistic, I guess, in a weird way.
But, like, at the beginning when the two girls are talking and the one friend's like, I watched this video, like,
he's got a gun.
7 days ago to this day, and after I got done watching it, I got the phone call. Are you going to believe her?
Something.
I mean...
That or whatever.
Got it. No, I mean, obviously, we're all going to be skeptical at heart, so thank you for that.
Ass, Trent. Okay, let's...
So we're not going to believe it right away, but when you do it for yourself, and then you do get that phone call, then yeah, you're going to be scared as shit for those next 7 days.
Let's say the Ring movie does not exist, and you don't have that knowledge... And your friend's telling you about this haunted video.
I think at that point you might be for the fun of it, like kind of like an urban legend, like Bloody Mary or something. You might go do it just to be fun and do it. But
if your friend's telling you about this and you can tell that he or she is like legitimately bothered by what they saw, do you think you'd still watch it?
I mean, I don't know. I guess there'd be no reason for me to watch it if my friend was genuinely like... that affected by it. I don't know why I would want to put myself through that, but I don't know. It's hard to say. That's a tough question. You're hitting us with some hard...
I was wondering about some hard what?
Some hard balls tonight.
What about you?
Hard balls?
Hard balls.
What about you?
Ask the question again.
So,
if you'd watch the tape.
If you had not seen The Ring in the real world and you did not have that knowledge and one of your friends are telling you about this scary haunted videotape they watched and they got the phone call that's supposed to happen afterwards, would you still watch it after hearing about it? Would you believe it?
I have a question.
Okay, so yes, I would probably watch it.
I believe that.
And the reason I would do that is because I don't believe in a lot of stuff like that. And I like to experience stuff as opposed to like just hearing people say it. So, you know, like when I was young, we played with Ouija boards a few times. Mm. And I saw some weird shit go on. However, I think a lot of it was just us spooking ourselves to death. But I did play with it.
Yeah. Let me add on here, though.
The Ouija board?
In this scenario.
Thank you. Voodoo.
In this scenario, did people actually die and is it traceable? So if you say so-and-so watched it, and then they're dead, and it's a pattern,
I mean,
do you have that knowledge, or are you still going to do
it? If it's a real person you know, is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, like in the movie.
I mean, yes, but even in the movie, they were saying that people had died after watching this tape, but they couldn't prove those because of the tape. So.
Okay, one person you could say, okay, that's a weird coincidence, but if it was like four or five or more? You still watching that tape? This Maybe. Is the media that's twisting our story and
I think it all ties into, like, I mean, if you're seeing this on social media, are you going to click on that link out of curiosity, you think?
Hmm.
Yeah, you are. Yes, you are.
I mean,
otherwise you would have already.
If
said
I
no.
knew, real
I see a lot of weird stuff on social media that people try, and I'm just like, nope, I ain't trying that. Like, I'm not dumb, so if probably
knew,
not.
If I knew real people that died, and the rumor was they did something crazy, and somebody said, "Would you want to do that crazy shit?" I'd be like, no, because they died, possibly from that crazy shit. Right? Yeah. Would you do it?
It's no, I don't think I would.
All this for that? No.
Look,
seriously,
this is because
well, I was thinking.
I have people now that send me fucking videos all the time on Facebook, and I'll still like message them like, "Hey, did you actually send me this video before I clicked on this link?" Because I'm not gonna do it. I'm scared of being hacked, so I'm gonna be scared of
if
fucking
anybody here should be
ghost
scared
killing me
of being hacked. It's that man over there.
He's actually been hacked. Hasn't
yeah, yeah.
Anybody that's scared of being hacked really for their money should be that guy because he goes on to questionable websites to watch movies all the time.
Because I'm Russian committed to this podcast.
Websites.
All right.
I don't know.
What do I hashtag all that?
Nonsense.
Thank you. Hashtag fucked up.
You and
show.
I, we're right here.
No, you're not.
Here we are. This is your home. This is your home. I did that earlier. It worked.
All right, so let's wrap it up. Let's give them ratings
wrap
and
it up.
Last thoughts.
I love you.
Go.
Oh, God. Ratings. I want to give it a good...
Ratings.
I want to give it a good 7.5. I fucking loved it when it first came out. And I watched it again, like I said, today, and I feel like it surprisingly held up pretty well. Considering how we talked about earlier, like the early 2000s movies having that kind of cliche thing about them, I thought that would be the case with this. Like, I'd go back and watch it today and be like, it really didn't hold up, but I think it's still just as good as it ever was. So I'm going to give it a good 7.5. Passing it over to once.
I just want to say, I love you guys. I haven't watched this movie in a very long time. I do remember liking it. I'm going to give it an 8 for nostalgic reasons. Because I remember when it first came out, like all the buzz it got. And I just remember, you probably won't remember this, but me, you, and a few other people in our group went to this house that we used to hang out with right
we
around
there.
The corner from my house.
Mm-hmm.
You know what house I'm talking about on 3rd Street?
Mm-hmm.
Right around the corner from me. And we were having a fun night. We were eating and you know, doing some things. And oh, he's going to fucking leave in the middle of the story, okay?
I really got to.
All right, well.
He's still listening in spirit. Continue.
Okay, I was just going to say, we watched it there that night and we used to watch it at Ian's apartment all the time. I'm pointing. He's gone. Goodbye, old friend. So long, partner. Anyway, I give it an 8.
This story's meaningless now. We don't give
a
shit.
I know, right? I got
the only
no
guy
feedback.
That lived, it's gone.
So it's been a long time since I've seen it, but I will give it an 8. Trent.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the buzz because I did not watch this movie when it first came out. It was many years later that I finally
Do you remember
watched it.
How old you were when it came out?
I mean, if it was 2002, I would have been 12 or 13. So
okay.
Probably before my 16. Interest in horror films was really...
Time to watch it.
Well, really? Again, I wasn't 13? Into horror movies until a little bit older. But anyway, so I didn't watch it when it first came out. But I also recall the buzz that surrounded this film and, you know, friends of mine and everyone else just, it's like the scariest movie I've ever seen. It's one of the scariest movies ever. And so it still had that impact on me even though I didn't watch it back then, that obviously it was a very good movie and well done. Now, obviously, when things like that get hyped up and you finally do watch it, I'm not going to act like it was the scariest movie I've ever seen, but I can certainly see why people felt that way, especially when I was a young teenager and all my friends were young teenagers. But anyway, having said all that, it was still a very good movie. I think it's kind of timeless. I think it holds up really well. I watched most of it again today, and we already kind of talked about it. It does kind of feel like an early 2000s movie, which it was, but it didn't have all the hallmarks that one typically does. So,
like we talked about, like Ghost
bad
Ship,
CGI,
bad CGI, like an over the top rock soundtrack, and
yeah, or like the weird flashy cuts. Like it had some in the video, but
the only bad CGI was in the well when she changes the crumbling.
Yeah,
true.
That's the only bad CGI.
I forgot about that. I didn't rewatch that
awful
part, but anyway, yeah. So I thought it was filmed well. We talked about the acting and. Last week.
Truly scary moments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Scary moments.
The video itself was very disturbing. It was like some weird art house film or something.
What was
like
the
it
creepiest
was just...
part? What was the creepiest part in the video to you guys? I have two.
The creepiest part? I mean, the thing coming out of the mouth was creepy.
That reminded me of like a Marilyn Manson video.
The beach was very creepy. Just, I don't know, just all the weird, ominous imagery was just kind of...
It's been a very long time since I've seen it. He's not her boyfriend, right? But the guy that seems like he's her boyfriend. Yeah.
Baby daddy.
Yeah, him watching the long-haired, like, guy. That was a swoop over bang.
Nobody's seeing you doing this.
I know. You guys keep looking at me like, what the fuck is he doing? It's a swoop. Her coming out of the TV for the first time for him was really creepy for me.
True. All the bugs that turned into like people. That little part was creepy.
This movie's so much better than the second one. And it's just like, the second one to me is really embarrassing.
I don't think I saw... I'm trying to remember if I watched the second one or not. I feel like I went to watch it, but I can't remember if I watched it.
It's like the guy from...
I've got it if you want to borrow it. Somebody gave it to me.
Like, I think it's on Prime. I don't want to ruin anything for you, but one guy dies, and when she finds him, it's supposed to be this really creepy, like, oh my God moment, but he just looked like...
I can't remember if I watched it.
And it's just more comical than anything.
Wasn't as good as the girl in the closet, the very first kill.
Yeah, yeah.
That was creepy.
All right, so I take that back. The second one, I'm being too hard on. It's not awful. It's just the first one's so good it doesn't live up to that.
Yeah. So the two creepiest parts in the... I do agree. It was a decent movie.
Decent,
but the first one was so good. It
made it look worse, yeah.
So the two creepiest parts was when the finger is on the nail and pushes down and it rips up through the nail. Do you remember that? That was gross.
I don't remember that.
There's like a finger and like a little nail, and it's pushing down on the nail, and all of a sudden the nail goes up through the finger and pushes the nail up, like the fingernail up.
Sounds terrible.
It's gross. And then it shows maggots crawling. This is what I thought was interesting. It shows maggots crawling, which is the same thing that the propagandist for the Nazis did with the Jews. Mm. It showed maggots crawling with them over top of it. And it showed maggots crawling, and then it showed people swimming in mud.
Yeah, no, I said that a second ago. The bugs that turned into the people. Yeah, that was one of the creepy.
That was gross.
So, I don't know. To summarize, I'm going to give it a 7.5 because we talked about it in last week's ritual episode. This isn't full core, but it has that same atmospheric kind of dread that movies like The Ritual had, and it just kind of had it throughout. So,
I gave a 7.5 to that one as well.
Yeah.
To 8. So I get consistent.
I would give this one a little, if we're going like 100-point scale, this would be a few points higher than The Ritual, but still
it's
in that 7 to 7.5 range.
On this podcast in a row that I've had the lowest score on.
Well, I'm going with The Ring. I'm going with an 8 again.
Oh my God.
Because I thought
because you're the one that made me watch in the first place.
I thought The Ring was the best early 2000s horror movie. Like, if you compare it to, I Know What You Did Last Summer or anything from the 2000s, it's a better movie than all those.
Way more rewatchable, too.
More rewatchable.
I think I like The Grudge better.
Because the mystery of it was really good. Like, as I was, watching again, trying to
The Grudge when it first came out.
The Grudge is very one-trick pony. You watch it one time, you can't watch it again.
That's what I was saying.
Watch it again. Tell me I'm wrong. The Grudge is one.
But I've heard, was it Ju-on is better?
I like that better. Actually, I like that better.
Ju-on is better than the American version.
I agree with that.
The Ring is better than Ringu.
Okay. I hadn't heard that before. So.
I think.
And if we're going to watch foreign films, watch The Wailing.
It's good.
Look at me like that.
The Wailing's good.
The Wailing's really good.
And watch, The Wailing. What was the other one I love? The Devil one. What the fuck's it called?
The one we just brought up?
No, it's the one that has the serial killer that the cop is chasing because he killed his wife.
Devil All the Time?
No,
it's a foreign movie, right?
Yeah. It's Japanese.
Okay, I haven't seen it, but you brought it up, and I can't remember what you said.
Brought up earlier?
No, that's what I thought too. That's a different one.
I saw the devil. Watch that.
That is on my radar.
I got it over there if you want to take it. I don't know if it's on any streaming.
It is. It was.
It's good. It's really unexpected. But anyway, go. Your last one. So we got 8, 7.5, 8, 3.
I went first.
Yeah, he went first. Oh, did you? You give it a 6.
Give it a 6?
I did. Now I feel bad.
I already forgot. You were gone for so long.
Did you give The Ritual a 6 last week?
Yep.
So we're all pretty consistent with our tastes in movies this last
week. I could have swore you guys all would have loved both these movies.
Hey, a 7 is a very solid score for me.
None of us said we didn't like the movies, though.
6, 6.5, that's low.
That's above average, but it's not low. It's not like it's...
That's above half.
I
feel
like you guys you score things. A lot of movies 6.5s.
Our score is 1 out of 10, so 6 is not bad.
I don't know how you scale your scale system.
That's a D in the teaching world.
But anything, for me, anything 7 and above is good and rewatchable. That's
a
key.
If that's a D, then what is it when you gave Darren's Bands a 4.5?
That's an F.
No, see, anything...
That's a large scale of grading.
Anything 5 or above is... Okay.
Have you never been to a high school?
This isn't school grades, means.
It's a 10.
5 or above is okay at worst. Anything below a 5 is when you're getting into bad territory.
So when we pick our movies, anything 5 and above should be like in our festival?
Maybe.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we had a lot of 5s and 6s that were not bad.
We grade them on a 10-point scale, hey. And we only do 7s and above.
Yeah, so I say 7 is good territory. 5 and 6 is like okay territory. Like there's some okay things about it, but not a great overall.
I feel like a 5 is a bad score on this, but maybe I'm wrong.
A 5 is not good.
A 5 is what you gave the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Not me. I love that fucking movie, and a lot of people agree with me, including a lot of filmmakers.
A lot of people agree that Child's Play is good, and you don't like it.
A 5 to me is a movie that is not good.
If I was young and watched that movie, I would probably like it. But I was like 20-something and watched Child's Play, so
not good. So you're saying it was Child's Play.
It was Child's Play.
To me, a 5 would be a movie that's not good, but like I don't regret watching it, but I'm not going to watch it again. Like it was an okay watch.
Can you wrap this up? Some of us had to
pee. Everyone has to know the minute details to my ratings.
The minutiae.
Even though I give everything 6s and 7s usually. Actually, I give a lot of 7s. Every now and then I'll throw some 8s out there.
What if we do the outro?
You got to be pretty good
to get
an 8.
We'll wait for you. That's what editing's for.
My question is there a porn version of The Ring?
Yeah, it's called The Cock Ring.
Is it?
You said that so quick.
I definitely made that up.
You probably looked that up on Pornhub the other day.
It's the chili ring. Or what's that thing Corey Oakland said? The chili ring? Is that what it's called?
The chili ring.
Ian's not listening to me.
That's not scary at all.
Yes. We actually talked about
that. You remember what that
actually
is?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Are you going to tell our listening audience, or are we going to keep that?
Disgusting.
I'm looking it up.
For those of you,
speaking of which,
you don't know what the chili ring is.
I don't.
Don't look it up.
This is kind of like
Let's leave it to everyone's imagination.
Cleveland steamer.
I could not be here the night that Means made chili. Was his chili good?
He didn't make chili. It was good. Don't listen to him.
It what?
It was good.
It was Mrs. Means.
Oh,
she made the chili because I didn't think you guys were eating chili, so I didn't make it.
This man over here lives for chili. We
don't
about?
Ever think that you're going to make chili and we won't eat it. If I'm here, I'm going to eat it.
All right.
That's stupid. Wait, what? It's just like around your butt?
That's Corey. He's the one that's into all that stuff.
Corey's into butts and rods and what's going on with that guy?
I just looked it up.
This is great content for our end of our episode, but yeah, I know I brought it up, so...
All right, so this has been the Horror You Know podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Ian.
I'm Ian.
I'm Trent.
Damn, we hope you have a wonderful winter out there. Hopefully, it's not too cold by the time you listen to this
winter
episode.
Winter needs to get out of here already.
Can't wait for spring.
Fuck winter. Spring. That's
right.
We're trying
to spring forward in life.
And look forward to our ghost hunting episodes coming up on the Poops Network.
That's right.
We are the Horror Email Podcast. Stay spooky, my friends. Yeah, give us some money.
Give us some money.
Hoops are going live in 2024.
One of the ends is going. One of the ends is going to start a GoFundMe soon.
I'm going to start a GoFundMe.
I am, but not for
OnlyFans.
An OnlyFans.
Ooh, I'd subscribe to that.
I don't know. Well, we're going to post yet, but we're going to post some shit.
Wells is going to show his toes.
Are you guys like into seeing naked skeletons? Would you pay money for that?
In the dead of night, when the moon is high, and the shadows dance, the evil will rise.